I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. The air that you breathe may be making you sick. The American Lung Association in 2015 gave a grade of F for air quality in Washtenaw, Wayne, Oakland, and Lenawee counties when it comes to ozone pollution. All of those counties did grade better in particulate pollution except for Wayne County, which had an F grade in that area too. The repercussions can be found in elevated number of respiratory afflictions throughout the region. Our guest this morning is well aware of the challenges ahead in addressing air quality and the health issues that result. Kendra Wide is a nurse who provides in-house advocacy and education to healthcare professionals in our area, stressing the connection between air quality, air policy, and public health. Kendra is a health fellow with a group that's called My Air, My Health. And Kendra, good morning to you and welcome to WEMU.
Good morning, David. Thank you very much.
The Centers for Disease Control has some rather frightening statistics on public health in Michigan. Nearly 12% of all adults and over 9% of children have asthma. We have the sixth highest rate of cardiovascular disease in our country. Our rate of lung cancer is worse than 33 other states, and there are only four states in the country with a higher rate of autism. In your studies, how much of that can be directly tied to air quality, at least in part?
Most all of those things that you mentioned there, all of those chronic diseases and conditions can be linked and have been linked by research to the quality of Michigan's air.
Southeast Michigan does have a strong industrial presence. How much of the responsibility lays in that area?
The averages of asthma in the state are higher, and it's due to the disproportionate burden of disease in those areas. And so sometimes we state that Michigan has a 25% higher than the national average rates of asthma. But in areas in southeast Michigan, there actually can be as high as 40 and 50%. And so that drives the state average up. And so that is a significant contributor to the poor health outcomes for our state, for sure.
Much like the water issue in Flint, can this be considered an eco-justice issue?
Absolutely. When you think about the populations that are impacted, it's definitely an environmental justice issue. It's our most vulnerable populations, it's low income, it's children, seniors, it's people of color that are impacted disproportionately by the air quality in these areas of Michigan. If you look at River Rouge, which is southeast of Michigan, that area has, I don't know if you saw the article last week in Newsweek, the air is literally killing the people of that area, and they're causing detrimental health effects for asthma specifically, as well as other chronic respiratory conditions. And people don't often make that connection that it can also impact cardiovascular diseases as well.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking pollution and public health with Kendra Wade. Kendra is a health fellow with My Air, My Health. Now, certainly these air quality issues are nothing new, Kendra. Back in 1970, Congress adopted the Clean Air Act, which aimed to address many of the issues we're talking about today. Do we have better air quality today than we did prior to that initial version of the Clean Air Act?
I can't answer that question specifically. I know that we need to do better, and we need to engage with the Clean Power Plan and try to improve renewable energy standards so that we can decrease emissions. Anytime that we're burning fossil fuels or combusting fossil fuels, we're putting very hazardous toxic chemicals and pollutants into the air that impact human health.
So our solutions do lay, in fact, in policy and regulation.
Any sort of policy should have health be the main consideration. And so that's what the environmental justice piece of the Clean Power Plan for each state's response to the plan should have an environmental piece and should have an environmental justice piece, which focuses on health in all policies. Any health policy that's written is going to have downstream impacts on health. And so we need to make sure that health is included and that people like our organization are included in the stakeholder process so that we can highlight that connection between strong energy policies equals better air quality and equals better health outcomes for our most vulnerable populations.
Why has our legislative bodies, for the most part, chosen to kind of separate the two issues of air quality and public health?
I can't answer that question. That's something that we really... I meet with legislators and senators since I've started this position, and I can't understand why it's become a political issue. I would like to see health be the factor in all the policy decisions we make and not economic bottom lines. Unfortunately, I think that economics drives a lot of the decisions that are made. So what I try to do as a health advocate is try to focus on people who are more interested in the bottom line and the economic impacts, I try to focus on the fact that we can improve healthcare outcomes and healthcare costs as we improve outdoor air quality as well.
Based on current policy and regulations, we have seen reductions in mercury. Particulate matter in a lot of our areas has gone down. Are we going to see better quality air and health outcomes if we don't make more dramatic changes immediately?
I think that it's very pertinent that we make dramatic changes immediately. We're seeing the impacts of the decisions we've made. The new mercury regulation is going to decrease the amount of mercury that's allowed. And just the news that 7 of our dirtiest coal-fired power plants are going to be closing April 15th, that's great news because coal is very dirty and the particulate matter that it emits has a lot of mercury content in it. So I do see that there's going to be an improvement.
You're listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair alongside Kendra White, and Kendra is a health fellow with My Air, My Health. What about the longer-term future? We are seeing more investment in use of renewables, and as slow as it may be moving, there seems to be a push and willingness to better incorporate renewables into our energy future.
Absolutely. I think that if we can focus on emissions-free energy, then we can improve public health. We're trying to increase our renewable standard. It was set in 2008. We had legislature that just sunsetted back at the end of 2015 that set our renewable standard to 10%. We're already there. There's other states that are doing better with renewable energy, Colorado for one. Iowa, I think, just had recently 30% renewable energy. And so all of that translates to improved air quality, and that translates to improved public health outcomes.
As you well know, the state legislature in Michigan has been bandying back and forth and debating what the new energy policy should be set and whether there should be any new mandate at all moving forward.
Right.
Where do you see that playing out over the course of the next 12 months?
Well, hopefully I see it coming out that we do put some mandates on that and increase our renewable energy portfolio. That's the work we do. This month, we hope that we're going to hear legislation after the spring break or before that's going to pertain to Michigan's energy policy. And so we're meeting with legislators. We're meeting with those that will meet with us. It's unfortunate that it's a political issue, and sometimes we can't meet with both sides of the aisle.
Well, we're getting ready to enter summer, and July and August are particularly bad months for high levels of ozone. A lot of so-called ozone action days occur during those months. What are some of the things we can do on an individual level to best protect ourselves on poor air quality days and months?
That's really actually a really sad situation. When I think about the children that suffer from asthma, and that can throw them into an asthma exacerbation on poor air quality days. And unfortunately, air pollution is something that is a broad exposure. It's not something that you can choose to expose yourself to or not. So unfortunately, on those days, children who have asthma and are at high risk for exacerbations due to poor air quality days have to stay inside. And that can be as many as 2 and 3 weeks per year when we have ozone action days where the temperature's high and the ozone levels are high and can cause exacerbations of asthma for these kids and for other people who have respiratory and chronic conditions. And so unfortunately, we can't really always control our exposure, and that's why this becomes an environmental justice issue. Some of the most vulnerable populations are impacted. And that's why we're out here fighting and trying to focus on the fact that policy changes do impact air quality, and improved air quality will improve health.
Kendra, thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, David. I appreciate you hearing our message. Have a great day.
You too. That is Kendra White, a nurse who provides in-house advocacy and education to healthcare professionals in our area, again stressing the connection between air quality, air policy, and public health. Kendra is a health fellow with My Air, My Health. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and heard each Wednesday on 89.1 WEMU.